Does anybody, well, let's say hello to everybody watching online. Well, what's up, y'all back there in the back row? What's happening? What's happening? Does anybody know who won the basketball game? Dallas is winning. What'd you say? I didn't check. I just remembered that they were playing. I have not seen anything about it. Does anybody know? Huh? It must be the fourth quarter. Didn't it start at 4:30? Oh, so five, it's still 2.5 hours. It must be. Anyway, how many of y'all don't really care about basketball? Very good. Chargers. Well, okay. How y'all doing tonight? Do we have any visitors here from out of town? Your mom? Hello, how are you? Where are you from? You're from Haiti? How are you? Good. She doesn't speak English? Oh, como se va? You're getting a big tee-hee out of that one. Does she understand? Does she understand what I said? ¿Cómo se va? ¿Cómo tú te apellas? ¿Cómo tú te apellas? She said what? Okay. Can you understand me? Can you understand me right now? Yes. What is your name? What did she say? Okay, hello, Siriando Se. I'm trying to, I could tell. You're spicy, spicy hot. You're all over the place, girlfriend. Good, all right. Okay, anybody else here from out of town? Someone else raise their hand over here. Yes, the man in the... Are y'all together? Yeah. Where y'all from? Yeah. Who are y'all? Why are you yelling like that? Are you from a church? Yeah. Do you say anything individually? Are y'all going to Mexico for ministry or something like that? Y'all are funny. Y'all are funny. Y'all are from Phoenix. Okay. Welcome. It's nice and cold over here, huh? What is your name? Ah, there we go. There we go. Here we go. Individual. Individuals. How about over here? Yes. Where are you from? Tacoma. Tacoma. Are you from Tacoma?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Are you in the military? No. Call me sir, though. You make me feel old. Who else? Yes. From where? Texas? Dallas. Welcome. Welcome. Yes, young man. Where?
Iowa.
Iowa. What? I... Welcome, young man. Welcome. Did you come here all by yourself? How old are you, like 10? Are you 10? 12. Okay. My bad. Wow. Right. Who
are?
Excuse me?
We have graduates.
Graduates of?
UCSD.
UCSD graduates. Where are they? Congratulations. You graduated. Anybody else graduate? Everybody who graduated or is graduating, stand up. You graduated anything, anything. Look at all the graduates. Very good, very good. Who else? Yes.
Well, I
New Orleans? Welcome. Welcome from New Orleans. And what are y'all doing down here? Who are you visiting? Your father. How old are you? 12. And how old are you? 13. Okay. Okay. Is he here? Is your dad here? He's at work. Okay. Well, thanks for coming to church. Is your first time here? Okay. Who else is visiting? Okay, where are you from?
Kenya.
Kenya. Amen. And how many languages do you speak? Then you can't really be from Kenya. Huh? You what? You what? Oh, so you lied. She said they already said Phoenix, so she wanted to be original, so she said Kenya. Is that what you're saying? You grew up in Phoenix, but you live in Kenya now? You were born in Kenya? Born in Kenya. How long did you live in Kenya? Huh?
3 to 4 years.
And you only learned English? Come on. You didn't learn Swahili? Okay. I have no idea who I'm talking to. I'm just talking to a voice up somewhere up there. Okay, who else? Yes, where are you from?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
You a Southern girl? You're not a Southern girl? Where were you from?
Sacramento.
Oh, yeah, definitely ain't a Southern girl. Someone else raise their hand over here. Yes, where are you from? Where?
Fort Hood, Texas.
Is it military? Is it military there, right?
Yes.
Is it the Army?
Yep.
Are you in the military?
Yep.
Okay. Fort Hood.
Texas.
Anybody else? Yes, waving your arm. Where in Georgia?
Atlanta. Oh, Southern girl. Are you from there? Did you grow up in Georgia? You did. And what do you do down there? You're a nurse. Oh, do you still live there now? Not right now. Are you going back there? Am I making you feel homesick right now?
How about right behind you? Someone raise their hand. Yes. Oh, London. That's the one accent I cannot get. Do you live there now?
No,
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Do you enjoy it here? You love it. Why do you love it? Cause what? The sunshine. That's right, you got gray all day and night, right? The sunshine, what else? Are the people more friendly here than in England? Absolutely. They smile at you. Can you figure that? What a jolly thing. Go figure. What do they do in England? They just snub their nose. Huh? They do what? Grumble? Like that? Is that what you said, grumble? Grumble. Do you do tea? Are you doing tea tomorrow? Huh? At 11. Where shall we meet? Are you doing tea at Starbucks? Where do you do tea? At the office. At your work? I don't think so. At 11, you're supposed to be working. Okay. What did you come here for? Oh, you work at SeaWorld. What do you do there? Did you do that in England? No. What did you do over there? You what? University. You just finished university. Does that mean you graduated? Okay, because that's what we say over here. We graduated. Yeah, I didn't know if you just like finished yesterday. Just kind of. My sister lives in London. Yes. She's always at Buckingham Palace with her husband. Anybody else? Yes. Did you raise your hand? No, not you. You. Did you raise your hand? Where are you from?
Israel.
Oh, wow. Now, how many languages do you speak?
Just four.
Just four. Let me guess. You speak Hebrew,
Russian,
English,
gibberish.
Okay, let's back up here. English,
Russian.
Okay. English,
Russian,
Hebrew. What's gibberish? Is that a...
Well,
gibberish to us means nothing.
Oh,
is this a joke? What's your name, man? What's your name?
Boris.
I do the jokes. That was a kid. Okay. I'm only messing with you, Boris. So Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew. Shalom. Shalom was like hello and goodbye and have a good day. And all. It means a lot of things, right?
Yep.
Okay, Yeshua. Yeah, very good. Teach us some Hebrew. Say, how do you say hello?
Manishma.
Huh?
Manishma.
Manishma?
Yep.
Manishma. Everyone say manishma.
Manishma.
How do you say goodbye? Huh?
Le-itra-or.
Le-itra-or.
Ot.
Itrot. That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. Give us a word that goes like that. Give us one of those words. Now, the lady in front of you, you need to back your back of your head. Huh? Oh, of course, a good word. Like, how do you say Bethlehem?
Hummus.
A hummus? What does that mean? Tell me what it means first. Oh, you mean the food? Oh, hummus. Oh, hummus. How do you say Bethlehem? Is it Bethlehem?
Bethlehem.
Oh, we say it wrong. Bethlehem. Bethlehem, right? Say, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Say it.
Yeshua.
And that's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. One more person. Huh? Yes. Huh? France. Did you tickle on my French from earlier? Comment ça va? Comment ça va? Huh? Yes, merci beaucoup, c'est pas. Comment tu te rappelles? Hey, very good. Okay, hopefully y'all online are tracking with all this stuff. You're watching online. Hopefully you haven't turned us off yet. Hopefully it's been entertaining. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles. Say, word. That was very weak. Can we try that one more time? This used to be the service with all the juice. You guys are getting old and crusty. How many of y'all are old and tired? How many of y'all are, you don't even know what I'm going to say. You don't even know what I'm saying. How many of y'all are under 30? Over 30. All the dogs over 30. All the poodles. They call them poodles. How many of y'all are single? Does that mean you're happy to be single? How many of y'all are married? Okay. Let's try this one more time. Let's go. Take a deep breath in. Whoa. See your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And while you turn there, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, we just pray your word would speak to us and would be very clear to us and that we would receive it with humility. In Jesus' name, amen. We are wrapping up our series called The Jesus Dilemma that we've been doing. It's 6 weeks long, six messages. And today we're going to answer the million-dollar question, which is, did Jesus himself say that he was God? And did Jesus himself say he was the only way to heaven? I'm going to propose to you that Jesus himself said he was God many different ways to the audience he was speaking to at the time he lived. And in this short story we're going to read tonight, he says that he is God five different ways. And he not only does he say it five different ways, but he has said it over and over again these different ways throughout the Gospels. Why this is critical is because you will constantly hear people say Jesus never said he was God. There's other ways to heaven. He was a leader, a Christian. He was definitely enlightened. He was definitely a religious leader. He was definitely a special prophet. He definitely had words of wisdom. All that stuff is true, but he was more than that. And I will tell you, every religion in the world, 100% of the religions in the world, whether they are true or not, depends on who they identify Jesus as. Because if they identify Jesus as who the Bible says they are, they all have to submit to him. If they say that their belief system is equal with Jesus, then he can't be God because he said he was the only way. So whenever you're talking about to someone about their belief system, you always want to start with, who do you say Jesus is? Because that's how you can know where they're at. If they say Jesus is Lord, then boom, everything's in place. But if they say Jesus, you know, he was a way, wrong answer. And so you want to start with that whenever you're talking to anybody. And by the way, whatever it is you believe, you have to start with who Jesus is. Because you can't have multiple gods. You can't have multiple options if, in fact, God says there's only one way. So in the story we're going to look at tonight, it's a story about a guy who was paralyzed, and he was laying on the ground in this area where a lot of sick people lay. And they were laying at the top of some steps, and at the bottom of the steps was water. And when the water moved, they believed there was an angel in the water and that whoever got in the water first would be healed. And so this crippled man's laying there. He was crippled for 38 years. Jesus is going to come by and ask him, do you want to be well? And then he's going to be healed eventually. And once he's healed, he's going to be confronted by the Jews because he is healed on the Sabbath, which was a day of rest. He's carrying his bed, which Jesus told him to carry, that he laid on for 38 years. And the Jews are going to say, you shouldn't be carrying your bed on the Sabbath because the Sabbath is a day of rest and you're working. Who told you to do that? And he's basically going to say Jesus did, and then that's when the drama starts with Jesus and his critics, and that's when he is going to start to do things to claim that he is God. Five different ways. How many different ways? Very good. Let's look at John chapter 5. Oh, what a coincidence. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda. How would you say that in Hebrew? Bethesda, right there. How would you say that word? Very good, Bethesda. I said it right. Yeah. Okay. It had five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well by whatever disease he had. There was a certain man who was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Say 38. And when Jesus saw him, he knew he was in that condition a long time. Why? Because he was God. He knows everything. And he said, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, it seems like a very simple yes or no question. Do you want to be well? So, we are all sinners, and in this room, I can imagine there are people here who are addicted. God wants to know, do you want to be well? I can imagine there's people in here who are addicted to pornography, they have lust problems, they got ego problems, they got pride problems, they got anger problems, they got alcohol problems, drug problems, cocaine, marijuana, what have you. There's people in here with money problems, there's people here who are oppressed and depressed. There's people here with all kinds of problems. You got financial problems, you're getting ready to go to court tomorrow, you may go to jail problems. All kinds of stuff in here. And God is asking you, do you want to be well? It's a very simple yes or no. It's not a yes, but, or no, but. It's a yes or no. And a lot of times we get our button away. It's either yes or no, not but. Keep the button in the back. Back of here, back of here. It's where it belongs. Put it there for a reason. Now look at Lewis says in verse 7. The sick man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Someone cuts in front of me." Here's what the man is saying. Jesus asked him, do you want to be well? He thinks in order for him to be well, he has to be the first in the water. When God asks you, do you want to be well, don't start to figure out how he's going to do it because you don't know how. You just say yes. Lord, I got these problems. I don't know how I'm going to fix them. That's exactly right. That's why if you knew, you would have done it. My way is not your way. This is Jesus talking. My way is not your way. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are above your ways. Just let me do it. That's all I want to know, Christ says. Do you want to be well? Do you want to get over your issue? That's all I want to know. It's yes or no. It's simple. Don't let the devil put in your head, I got all these obstacles. How is God going to do it? I don't know. And negotiate yourself out of the yes. You talk yourself out of it. And God's like, give me a chance. And so what happens in verse 8, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, and he took up his bed and he walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Everyone say Sabbath. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered and said, he who made me well said, take up my bed. And he said, who is the man who told you to take up your bed? The one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn in the multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who made him well. Say, Jesus. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Number one in your notes, one of the ways Jesus said he was God is that he exercised spiritual authority only assigned to God. He exercised spiritual authority only assigned to God. It is easy for someone to say, I am God. Anybody can say that. I'm God. Okay, prove it. Jesus said he was God and made his identity known by many different ways. And one of them is that he did things only God can do. Here's a guy crippled 38 years. He says, get up and walk. It was a guy who was blind. He spit in the ground, made mud with his spit, put the mud in his eyes, said, go wash your face in the pool. You're going to get your sight. The guy says, I'm going to wash my face in the pool. Then I'm going to come back and get you for spitting in my eye. He put his fingers in someone's ears and made the deaf hear. He touched someone's tongue and made the mute speak. He raised three people from the dead. A little girl, 12 years old. He said, Talitha Kumar, get up. Another, Lazarus was dead 4 days in the tomb. He told him, Lazarus, come forth. He got out and walked out after he was dead 4 days. Another man was in a coffin. They were having a funeral, walking down the street. And he told the guy to rise up out of the coffin. He raised dead people. He cast out demons. Demons came up to him. And he says, be gone, get out of him, and enter him no more. And demons came out. He was in a boat, sleep, with his disciples. A storm came. The disciples thought they were going to drown, and they woke him up for fear that they were going to die. And Jesus woke up out of his nap and said, what? And they said, we're going to drown. He said, ugh. And he said, storm be muzzled, and the storm stopped. Then I don't know if he went back to sleep, but he's like, don't wake me up again, okay? He spoke to the weather. He spoke to demons. He spoke to disease. He spoke to death. He walked on water. He forgave sin. He was in a house doing a Bible study. The house was full of people. No one could get in the front door. So these four guys who had a friend who was paralyzed, carried him up on the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and let him down in the room. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And his critic says, who can forgive sins but God? And Jesus said, that's exactly right. That's why I did it. So it was one thing for him to say was God. It was a whole other thing for him to do all these things that only God can do in their face and say, y'all figure it out. Now, if someone today said he was God, whatever, but if he started doing all these things, you'd be like, oh, man, something's going on. The other thing Jesus did is he took titles that were assigned to God. Number two in your notes, Jesus gave himself titles that made him equal to God. He gave himself titles that made him equal with God. Look what it says in verse 16. Verse 16 says, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Jesus said, my Father has been working till now, and I have been working. In other words, I came from heaven. And therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making him equal to God. Jesus took titles. They knew exactly what he was saying. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. They knew what he was saying. Why? In Exodus chapter 3, the second book of the Bible, Moses is talking to a burning bush, and the burning bush speaks to Moses and says, I'm sending you to my people. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses said, what is your name? He says, I am that I am. God's name is I am. Here, Jesus is 2,000 years later saying, I am. They went crazy. They went postal. They went FedEx and UPS on them. They're saying, you're saying you're the I am from the Old Testament? That's right. And another part of another incident, they said, are you the Christ? He said, it is as you say. And not only am I the Christ, I am also the Son of Man who's going to come on the clouds and judge the earth that you read about in the book of Daniel. They went postal on him again. He took all these titles. I'm the Christ. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man. I am the I Am of the Old Testament. What other title do you want me to tell? Well, how else can I make this any clearer? You've seen the Father. You've seen me. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. That's who I am. Why is this important? It's because you don't want to get lulled to sleep to think that Jesus is just an enlightened man. He is God. And he said he was God. The third way he said he was God, in your notes, is that he accepted worship, which was only assigned to God. He accepted worship. Worship, W-O-R-S-H-I-P. Worship. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil tempted Jesus or tried to get Jesus to sin. And one of the things the devil said to him, he says, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you bow down and worship me. Now, before I tell you what Jesus said, let me tell you this. The devil will tell you every single day that if you worship him or do what he says, he will reward you. Matter of fact, the reason people don't obey God is because they obey the devil. The reason you don't read your Bible, the reason you don't read your Bible when you're supposed to is because you are convinced you don't need to and it's a better use of your time. The reason you don't pray when you should is because the devil has convinced you very subtly that you don't need to pray. There's something better and more effective than praying. It's a lie. The reason you don't serve, the reason you don't give, same reason. You have been convinced that there's something better, and the devil says, if you worship me and do it my way, I'll get you what you want. That's what's happening. And so he tells Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kings of the earth. And Jesus says, you shall worship and serve no one but God. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, twice in the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and chapter 22, he went down to bow at an angel's feet. And the angel said, get up, don't worship me, only worship God. So here Jesus says, only worship God. Here's the angel saying, only worship God. Yet, look what Jesus says about himself. Verse 22. He said, the Father judges no one, but has committed judgment to the Son. Jesus is the one who's going to judge you and me. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus over and over and over again received worship. He healed a blind man. He worshiped him. Jesus said nothing. Didn't tell him to get up. He healed a leper. The leper worshiped him. He stopped the storm. His disciples worshiped him. He showed his hands, the nail prints in his hands after he was resurrected, and Thomas worshiped him, called him my Lord, my God. He rode in on a donkey, and the crowds were worshiping him, and the religious said, tell them to stop worshiping you. He said, if they stop, the rocks will cry out and worship me. Did you know that rocks make sounds? Ooh, I get chills. Right now, rocks make sound. Did you know that living things emanate light? That you emanate light? And so God is saying, all Jesus is receiving worship from all these different people all the time, and he never once said no. He says, yes, I deserve it. Why? Because I'm God. Revelation tells us that all honor and glory belong to the Lord and him only. Him only. So here's this man saying, I'm going to perform these miracles that you can't do. I'm going to receive all these titles that belong to God, the Messiah, the great I am. I am going to do all these things that only God can do, and I'm going to receive worship that only belongs to God. What is he saying? They know exactly what he's saying. And why is it so effective? It's one thing to say I'm God. It's another thing to act like it. It's another thing to put yourself in that place and receive titles and worship that only belong to God. My brother was a football player at Syracuse University. He was a Heisman runner-up in 1987. He was an All-American and best quarterback in the nation back in 1987. They were undefeated, 11-0. They went to the Sugar Bowl, blah, 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 blah. He was the man back then. And I went to a football game at campus, and he threw four touchdowns in the first half, and the game was over, and he didn't even play the second half. And we're walking down the street from the game to his dorm, me, him, and my mom, and this girl walks up the sidewalk, and she just realizes that's Don McPherson. And she just goes berserk, and she starts, and then she grabs his hand, the golden hand to throw the football, and she kissed it. I was like, ew. Do you know how crusty and ashy that hand is? Are you out of your mind? When people worshiped Jesus and fell at his feet and washed his feet with their tears, he didn't say, no, 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 no. He says, yes, I'm God. He received it. He never rejected it. Why? Because he's God. Number four. Jesus claimed to be the way to heaven. Now, you will hear many, many people say there's many ways to heaven. Look what he says in verse 24. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear their voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Look at verse 24. Most assuredly, I say, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. You want to live? Just hear my voice. You want to live? Hear my voice. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, everyone say nobody. Nobody. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. What does that mean? Exactly what it said. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody, everyone say nobody. Nobody. What does nobody mean? Nobody. It means nobody. It means nobody. Well, what if I just do real good? No. What if I worship this? No. What if I go to church and all these different religions? No. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. It's very simple. Jesus also said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I'm the only one. I don't have any brothers that can give you salvation. And he says he had earthly brothers from Mary, but not from heaven. He says, I'm the only son of the Father, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. He also said that I have come not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom. No other religious leader gave their life as a ransom. None. None rose from the dead. So what is he saying? You want to get to heaven? You got to come through me. Even Jesus himself asked, is there any other way? Right before he was arrested, he said, Father, is there any other way? Do I have to die? And is there any other way you could do this? He said, no, you gotta be arrested and die. Why? Because the penalty of our sin is death. Jesus had to die in our place. Someone sinless had to die for sinners. So he had to do it. And so he's the only way to get to heaven. And by the way, it says here, if you look at verse 24, where it says everlasting life. Everyone say everlasting life. There's a difference between everlasting life and everlasting existence. We will all exist somewhere. Some of us will exist in heaven, and some of us will exist in hell. Existence in hell is not called life. Existence in heaven is called life. Y'all have seen the movie, The Night of the Living Dead? Did anybody see that movie? How many of you have not seen it? Okay, it's nothing to go see, but let me give you a little synopsis. I don't know what caused this to happen in the movie because I don't remember the movie, how it went. But basically, some condition happened. When you died, you came back to life in the very condition you were when you died. So if you got, like, hit by a car, you would go blam, and you'd all be like that, and then you would wake up and just walk around like that, and you would look for people who didn't have whatever this disease thing you had to make you come back to life, and you go, and you would try to kill them by eating them and pulling them apart, and then when they died, they would die, and their eyes would roll back in their head, and they would go, and so all these people were going after the living people. So some of the living people walk around like this, and then the other people, regular people like us, alive. Now, they both were walking around, and they both could make sounds, but one was dead, and the other one was alive. There are people that you see every day. Some are alive because God has forgiven of them sin and given them eternal life. They have rivers of living water coming from within them. They're alive. And then other people are dead. The outside looks fine. They may even have a whole lot of nice things, but they're dead. They have no peace. They have no vision. There's no purpose. Eternal purpose, eternal perspective. They're greedy. They're selfish. They're dead, but they're alive. They're just existing. When you die, if you die without Christ, you go to a place where there's no God. It's all pain. You're existing, but it's not living. You die with God, you go to a place where you're alive. You're with God. I have this theory that when you're awake, it's like living. When you sleep, it's like you die. And then when you go to sleep, you have a dream or a nightmare. And in that dream or nightmare, you go to a place that's like reality, but different. You can talk, you can walk, you can run, kind of. You have emotions that are very real in your dreams. And sometimes your dreams are good, heaven. And sometimes your dreams are bad, hell. And every day you live, you die, you go to this place that's like reality, but different. And then you resurrect and do it all over again. Every day. Last night I had a nightmare last night. Horrible nightmare where I woke up screaming and actually was in a nightmare, knew I was in a nightmare and tried to scream myself awake. And I'm in the bed going, and I woke up. And my wife, she's no love. So I didn't wake her up, but I was scared. Does anybody know what scared is? I was scared on steroids, scared. And I was like, I don't want to close my eyes, but I don't want to wake my wife up. So I just went back to sleep. And then I woke up this morning, and I was like, Debbie, I was in a bad nightmare last night. And she says, I know, I heard you. I'm thinking, you heard me. I mean, you didn't give me like a hug or something. I was scared. You know, a little snuggle, you know what I'm saying? What's up? I mean, she said, I heard you. So basically what happened was you were laying there. You heard me scream. You looked over and said, poor fella. And then you went, is that what happened? She said, no, I thought you were still asleep. I didn't know you were awake. So I went back. I said, as soon as I woke up, I heard you snoring. She says, oh, no, whatever. Okay, you're supposed to love me and be my wife and watch after me. I'm here trying to fight the devil in my sleep, and you don't want to even give me a hug. That's messed up, ain't it? So you're awake, you're alive, you die, and then you go someplace. God every day is reminding you, giving you a hint. There's another place. It's just my theory. I could be all wrong. But the Bible does tell us there's a hell, and the Bible does tell us there's a heaven. Whether it has anything to do with sleep, waking, and dreams, it doesn't matter. It is true. And so you have to decide, which one do you want? Again, Jesus says, do you want to be well or no? By the way, if you want to go to hell, you don't need to come to church. You could do that all by yourself. Matter of fact, if you want to go to hell, you don't have to do anything. Just do whatever you want. You don't need to come to church. You don't need any of this stuff. Matter of fact, coming to church could be dangerous to your plan to go to hell. It may mess that plan up, so you might want to avoid this place if you want to go to hell. Look at number 5. Jesus made afterlife promises that only God can keep. Jesus made promises of things he would do after he died and after you die. Do you know when you die, your brain takes 30 minutes to stop functioning? It's still like trying to figure things out after you. Is he going to wake up? You know, try to get your heart going. I don't know what it does, but it just kind of shuts down for about a half an hour. Jesus said stuff that he would do after he died, and he also said stuff he would do after you die. In other words, when you die, it ain't over. It's like, you know, when the band plays, you're like, one more song. Yeah, there's one more song. Look at verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. When Jesus was being interrogated by Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate said, I have the authority to kill you, Jesus wasn't worried. And he says, Pilate, I know you have that authority. My Father has given you authority and power. The only problem is you have pop-pop power. You know those little rock, what's that candy you put in your mouth that goes pop rocks? You got, what's it called? Pop rocks. You have pop rock power. Little crackle, crackle, crackle. You got Rice Krispie power. Snap, crackle, and pop power. Little firecracker power. What does that mean? You have judicial power. You have economic power. You have political power. We have social power. Personality power. We got those are little pop-up powers. The difference is that Jesus was saying, you can kill me. You can whip me with your pop power. Nail me to the cross with your pop power. Put those little toy cops in front of my tomb, pop-pop power. Put the rock in front of the tomb, pop-pop power. You can seal the tomb, pop-pop power. And you can do all that stuff, pop-pop, pop-pop, pop-pop. Little pop-pop, pop. So that's all you got, little pop-pop, pop-pop, pop-pop. I got baboon power. Because when you pop-pop, 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 pop-pop and kill me, there's going to be 3 days later, there's going to be boom. And then the little angel's going to come down. It's going to be an earthquake. The stone's going to roll away. I'm going to come out. That's why I'm not worried about your pop-pop power. So here's what he's saying. Even though to you, Pilate, death is final, in my world it's not. I had defeated death. This is the good news. If you have Christ in your life, death is not over. One of my prayers to God, and I don't think I ask for a lot of things for myself. I don't think. But one of the things I do ask myself, and it's really no big deal whether I get it, is that I hope I have a warning that I am going to die. That I do all the things I want to do, and I'm real old. I plan on living to 120, so hopefully I'm not all like, you know, I got to make it 2 more years. That I have somewhat of health. I can still work out at, you know, 119, 118, 120, still be able to walk, you know, do, go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and laugh. Y'all are going to all be dead anyway, so you're not going to see it. But so I hope I get to do all that stuff. And right when it gets to I'm 119 in like 9 months, God says, you're done. You got 3 more months. I was like, okay. Because in 3 months, I don't die. I go to the next place. And so when Jesus is saying you want to be well, what he wants you to do is he wants to give you eternity now. Now. Because when you walk with God, this body you have is the worst body you're ever going to have. He's going to give you a new body, an eternal body, an eternal in heaven. And so if you're walking with God, this is the worst place you will ever be. Earth, heaven's better. If you're not walking with God, this is the best you'll ever get. Your next stop is hell. There's no purgatory in between. You die, you're there, permanent. He says he's going to call people, he's going to call us out of our grave and say, all you non-Christians to damnation, all you Christians to heaven. Or let me say it this way, all you who rejected my salvation, you rejected the only salvation there was. All you have accepted my salvation, you have eternal life. And so as Jesus said to this man, do you want to be well? He's saying this to you. It's either yes or no. Leave the butt out of it. Don't say yes, but, you know, I go to this other church. And, you know, what about my friends? And what about my dad? And what about my uncle who's dead? Oh, forget all that for now. Either you want Christ or you don't. If you don't, then it's all on you. It's all on you. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you that you very clearly explain to us who you are. We thank you for your word and for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we thank you that you are so good to us. And thank you that you make a very simple offer to us. Do we want to be well? You've proven over and over again who you are. You've proven that you love us. And we just need to make a decision. Do we accept you? Lord, thank you for being good to us. If as you're listening to my voice, you want to be like that paralytic who got up, and you want to answer to Jesus, yes, I want to be well. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. By faith, surrender your issues to God, your pain to God. Pray, dear God, Jesus, I believe you are God. I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. Please come live in my heart and be my Savior and my God and my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being good to me. I surrender to you my burden and my pain and my sin. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you pray that prayer, and you're saying, Lord, today I want to surrender my life to you, just stand to your feet and acknowledge your forgiveness that you've received. Eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.